Hey there, welcome once again to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. Today is Thursday. It's December the 10th. And on today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about a passage from the book of the prophet Isaiah having to do with God holding our right hand. And look, I think this is one of the things that we really need to address and focus on, especially if we're feeling a little anxious today, the idea that we are never alone. And I think that's one of the big challenges that we face in life, the challenge of feeling that God is not present with us. So let's talk a little bit about that today, his presence in our lives, how we know that he's present, what he's done to help us to believe that he's present. And then let's take on the pitfall that many of us get tripped up on. I don't feel it. I don't feel his presence. So what do I do? And, you know, if I don't feel him, I panic because I don't think he's with me. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. This is Advent. What the heck's going on? How am I messing up? What am I doing wrong that I don't feel anything? So that's the general gist of what we're going to talk about on the show today. I really hope you're doing well. Hope you're having a good day. The temperature is nice here in southern New Jersey. Hope it's nice where you are. Hope you're enjoying your day. Hope your Advent is going well. And as we continue to walk our way through Advent and to head toward the third Sunday in Advent, you know, there's only four, so we're heading into the third Sunday. I know, incredible. In just a couple days, we want to make sure that we get the most out of this season. I'm really glad and very honored that you're spending time with me during this Advent season. I love to be able to hang out with you. We're just going to let the Holy Spirit lead this this program, as he always does. And I have a general idea where I want to go with this, but I want to try to always be open to the Spirit and wherever he leads me. So with that in mind, I'm getting the feeling he's leading me toward prayer now. Before I say too much else, let me turn and get some help. We're going to turn to our Father in heaven, who, even though we might not feel his presence right now, and you might not, and it doesn't mean you are doing anything wrong. You may really feel his presence, but then again, you might not. What we do know through faith in our head, in our intellect, right, is that he's with us, that he sees us, that he's all powerful, and that he loves us. We can count on this, on these facts. They are truths of our faith. We believe those things. But even if you don't feel them, we still believe them. So let's turn to our Father in prayer now and begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, you know, there are times when I don't feel your presence. I look around, I don't really see you. But that only makes sense because you are pure spirit. You are invisible. You don't have a body. So therefore, that makes sense that I can't see you. So everything is the way it should be. But with my limited human understanding, I have a hard time relating to a heavenly Father who is invisible. So, Father, by faith, I know that you're real. I know that you're with me. I know that you love me. I know that you are powerful, all powerful. And I praise you for all of those things, Father. You've been so good to us. You have kept us alive every minute since the moment we were first conceived. The fact that we're alive is evidence of your providence and how much you care for us. So we turn to you and we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for being available for us always, whenever we want. Sometimes it blows me away when I think about, Father, that you don't force your way into my life. You wait for me, and you literally wait for me to make the decision to turn to you in prayer. It shows a lot of humility, and I'm really grateful that you trust me like that and that you respect my free will. But Father, I've let you down on numerous occasions. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for any way that I may have let you down by committing a sin today. I ask you to forgive me. And I ask for the grace to do better for the remainder of today. Father, please accept all of our intentions. Whatever we ask for, we know for a fact that it's something you can handle, because all things are possible for you, Father. And even if we don't always feel it, we know that to be true. The Bible certainly tells us that. Our faith tells us that. So thank you for handling our problems, Heavenly Father. I ask you, Father, to send down your Spirit upon me today. Give me the words for this program. Give me the theme. Let me know what it is that you want me to discuss and how I should deliver the message. And Father, I pray also that you open all of our hearts and all of our minds to be receptive to your message, so that we're willing to listen to what you have to say and then go put it into action. Heavenly Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there we go. Thanks so much for praying with me. You are listening to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. If you want to find out more about the work that I do, including find out how to purchase my books, you can visit my website, followingthetruth.com. If you have not done so, and you want to get on my daily email devotional list, all you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com, supply your email address, and you will be all set. It's free of charge. And if you haven't signed up yet, I really think you would enjoy it. If you enjoy this show and the kind of things I talk about, I think you'll enjoy the emails. They come to you once each day. That's it. I don't spam you. I don't share your email addresses. All I do is send you a Bible verse and a brief reflection every day. And of course, I call it Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And what it is, it's a means to bring you peace using God's word and his message. That's really all it is. And I really think you'll enjoy it. So if you're interested, please go to followingthetruth.com and supply your email address. Okay, so you're feeling alone today, right? You're feeling alone, maybe a little discouraged. Maybe you feel like there's nobody to help you with your problems. We're gonna read from a little passage from the book of the prophet Isaiah. This came from the first reading of today's Daily Mass. But I want to really make one point as we take off and we start to talk about this. The fact that you may feel alone is in the same category with the fact that you might feel your situation is hopeless, that you may feel that God will not forgive your sins, that you may feel that God isn't hearing your prayers. I mean, all of these things, we feel them at times, right? We can't deny our feelings. And honestly, I think it would be unfair to you if I didn't address this, because this is something that drives many of us crazy. And we beat ourselves up because we are not feeling something, or we are feeling something to be true, but in reality, it's not true. You might feel like God's not with you. You might feel as if you are all alone. You might feel that he doesn't care about your prayers. You might feel your prayers are doing no good. You might feel that he's not willing to forgive your sins. You might feel that you're not important enough for God. You could feel any of these things. And the feeling could be very real to you, to the point where you would swear that it's true. But the fact that you feel any of those things I just mentioned doesn't make them true, because they're not true. Doesn't that feel good when you think about that? Because I think so many times we are so locked into feelings. Another big feeling or lack of feeling we often wrestle with is, I don't feel like I love God. Did you ever go through that? I'm just not feeling it. I don't feel any love for God. But yet if we would push past that, right? And first look at what love is, Love is a conscious decision. Love is a decision. St. Thomas Aquinas said, to will the good of another, to put somebody else's needs before your needs. A decision, not a feeling. See, in our society, a lot of times we hear that love is all about feeling. It's about good feelings. Well, yes, sometimes it is. Sometimes feelings are a part of love. But sometimes they're not. If you put God first in your life, if pleasing Him is what matters to you, not feeling good, pleasing Him, following His commandments, spending time with Him, loving other people. If that's your desire, no matter how you feel, you're loving God. You know, if you really are putting Him first in your life, you're loving Him, no matter how you feel. I think that is comforting, that is liberating, that is just so empowering when we think about that, isn't it? Because you can push past your feelings. And sometimes, see, what we have to understand is our feelings or emotions, they come from God. So God gives us the ability to feel things. But sometimes He takes the good feelings, which there's sometimes we refer to them as consolations, away so that when we pray, we don't feel anything. There are times when we can even feel negative feelings. They're known as desolations, and God permits them sometimes because what He wants to do is help us to grow in faith. And if we learn to pray, even when we don't feel like it, even though it doesn't feel good when we pray, then we learn to love God for who He is and not for what He does for us, right? I think I talked about this on yesterday's show. We want to love the giver more than the gifts. Because that's not a good relationship between me and God. If I'm just going to Him because He gives me things and and makes me feel good, it's not a loving two-way relationship. You'd agree with that, right? So what He'll do, He'll take the feelings away sometimes. And look, don't get me wrong. I love the good feelings. It's a lot easier to pray when I'm really into it and I'm really feeling good. I'm feeling the peace that comes along with praying. But sometimes I don't feel a thing. And you might not either. So please understand that doesn't mean that you are doing anything wrong. And also, when you don't feel anything, including God's presence, it doesn't mean that He's not there. So that's what I want to emphasize today, and I'm hoping that you needed to hear this today. I have a feeling you did, because usually the Holy Spirit puts things in my mind for a reason. God is with you. And we're going to look at this, just a little bit of the first reading from today's Mass. It's a reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And this is a reminder for you, especially if you are feeling alone today. Isaiah chapter 41, beginning in verse 13. I am the Lord your God, who grasp your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I will help you. I am the Lord your God who grasp your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I will help you. So there's your message from God to you. I mean, this is from God. Your Heavenly Father is speaking. This message originally was given to the prophet Isaiah before the time of Christ. I am the Lord your God. He's Lord, your God, who grasp your right hand. I want you to do me a favor. Stretch out your right hand. No, go ahead and do it, if you can. I mean, if you're driving or something, it's the last thing I need, right, to cause an accident. But if you're able to, stretch out your right hand, and I want you to picture God grasping your right hand, however that appears to you, whatever His hand's going to feel like. Again, He doesn't have a body, so it's a little weird to picture it, but picture God grasping your right hand. And then He says to you, fear not, I will help you. Now, I've talked about this a lot on the show. When I go out and I've spoken around the country, this has always been one of my big messages. Because I speak about overcoming anxiety. Fear not. That message appears throughout the Bible. Here's an example where it appears in the Old Testament. Now, whether it's 365 times or not, I don't know. Some people have said that. It's a lot. It's hundreds of times, this message. Fear not. Be not afraid. Have no fear. Let not your heart be troubled. The message is the same. But it never is a standalone message. In other words, God never just says, don't be afraid. There's always a second part to the message. And here it is today. Today he says, I will help you. Fear not. I will help you. But God, I have problems. I know. I will help you. I have challenges in my life. I know. That's why I said I will help you. Now, sometimes the second part of that message is a little bit different, and God will say, have no fear or fear not, because I am with you. Today, this message to Isaiah is a little bit stronger than that. When he says, I'm with you, that's still good, but you have to do a little reading between the lines. Okay, so God is with me, therefore that must mean he's going to help me. But in this case, he says it very clearly. Fear not, I got you by the right hand. I got you in my powerful grasp, and I'm going to help you. Now, I would think the follow-up to that is, what do you need? What can I do for you? And that's not in this reading, but I'm going to throw it out there and say to you today, take it to that next level and picture God saying to you, after he gets done telling you that he'll help you, picture him say to you, all right, what can I help you with? And bring that intention to him today. You know, that thing that's keeping you up at night, that thing that's causing you to have an upset stomach, whatever it may be, pray about it. Bring it to God, who said this. Now, again, you might not feel this. You might not feel his presence. You might not feel he's really going to help you. But that doesn't mean that what you're feeling is true. He will help you. Doesn't mean the problem will go away. Again, because we have to understand. I mean, let's reason this through. We can't possibly be smarter than God. Otherwise, we would be God, right? I mean, if he's God, he has to have superior knowledge, because then there would be no point to him being God. If I'm smarter than God, then I'm God. And we all know that's not true. So if your intention isn't answered in the way you like, okay, you have to believe that God sees something that you don't see. I mean, right? It's not crazy to think that, is it? It makes sense. He's God. Provided that he loves you, which he does, we know by faith that he loves us. And if he doesn't answer as quickly as you like, see, a lot of times he answers, or he's ready to answer, but he doesn't answer as quickly as we would like. And we sometimes assume that that means he's saying no. But that's not always the case. Sometimes what God is saying is not yet. But whether he says no, whether he says not yet, are we willing to trust that he knows more than we do? That's the key. That's the key to really having a good relationship with God. It's also the key to having some peace in your life. Realizing that I'm not going to always get what I want. And that doesn't mean God doesn't care. That means God knows what's best for me. So instead of worrying about your problems, if you're afraid of anything today, bring it to God and leave it with him. Let him work on it. Let him handle your problem and see what happens. And if you could learn to do that on a regular basis, you're going to be you're going to have a lot more peace in life. Now, that also doesn't mean you don't have anything to do. If there's something you can do to fix your problem, you know, God expects you to do it. And that's one of the reasons he gives us common sense and intellect so that we can make decisions. If your check engine light goes on your car, on your dashboard, which, by the way, don't you hate that when that happens? That and the tire pressure gauge drives me crazy. The tire pressure thing is nuts. I mean, it completely drives me crazy. But that being said, if a light goes on your dashboard saying that there's a problem with your car, it wouldn't be real appropriate to just say, all right, Lord, please make the light go off, fix the car. It would make more sense for you to check it out, to go put air in your tires or go take it into the dealership, right? I mean, that's where the common sense comes in. So he expects you to do what you can. But a lot of these things we worry about, we have no control over. And therefore, God wants us to trust him. So with the idea of, I want to explore this a little bit more, the idea of God caring for you, saying that he wants to help you with your problems, saying that he holds you by the right hand, telling you that he is with you. How do we know that? Because we don't always feel it. You know, right now as I'm recording this, I happen to know that my daughter Mary's in the bedroom, my wife Eileen is in another room, and my daughter Elizabeth is, I believe, out on the back porch. They're all somewhere. I can't see any of them now. I don't feel their presence at all. But I know that they're in the house. I know that in my head. Intellectually, I know that. Don't feel them, though. I know God's present with me. I know God loves me. I know God cares about me. I know God can handle my problems. I know he's holding me by the right hand. I don't necessarily feel it, though. But that's good enough. And I'm going to act on the fact that he does love me, that he is with me. And that's why I talk to him. You know, I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but you don't have to agree with me, by the way. But I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I'm not the dumbest guy in the world either. I'm not going to work full time for somebody who I don't believe to be real. I mean, I'm in full-time ministry now. I'm putting a lot on the line. I am absolutely trusting that God is real and that he will provide for me and my family. And I've been doing this for 8 years now. I'm going to be going on 9. And I would not do that. I would not come on the radio. I would not write books about an imaginary person. I believe he's real. With all my heart, I believe he's real. Now, as an example of God's love, of the fact that he wants to be closer to you, because here's the thing, God knows that we struggle to come to an understanding of an invisible Father in heaven who loves us, right? It's hard. So what did he do? He sent his son Jesus into the world to be born a baby, an infant, and grow up and go around and teach and heal the sick and cure the blind and raise people from the dead and ultimately be crucified for our sins and then rise from the dead and ascend into heaven and send his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. See, that's what God the Father did for you and me. Because he knew we would struggle with this idea of an invisible God. But see, once Jesus came to earth and sent his Spirit, that doesn't mean that he wanted us to forget about the Father, because Jesus several times said, go pray to your Father. So he wants us to remember the Father. But Jesus came to draw us to the Father, because the Father wanted us to understand how much he loved us. So he became one of us. He took on a body, just like we have. And he lived among us. And as we head toward Christmas Day, we look for ways to grow closer to his Son, so that his Spirit can be alive in us and can lead us to our Father in heaven, into a deeper relationship. So today I would say take a little time as we head toward Christmas Day and get ready to check off another day on the Advent calendar. Spend a little time with Jesus and say, Jesus, I know your Father said that he's with me. He's holding my hand. He wants to help me. Could you help me with whatever it is that you need, whatever your problem is? And believe that he heard you and that he's doing something about it, even if you don't feel it. There'll be times when you will feel it. There will be times when you will be at absolute peace knowing that Jesus is with you, that he's on the job, that the Father's watching over you, and that the Holy Spirit is working in you. Not all the time, but you will feel it. But when you don't feel it, act as if you do feel it. And make that an act of love, right? You know, Father God, I don't really feel it right now. Not necessarily feeling like praying, but I love you. And Jesus told me that if I love him, I'd keep his commands. So Father, I'm going to honor you today as my God. I'm not going to have any false gods. I'm going to put you first. And I'm going to pray to you in the name of Jesus. Not because it feels good, but because I love you. And I'm telling you, if you start doing that, it's going to change your life. All right, will you try that? Hey, if you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. I thank you so much for spending time with me. I'm going to run now. I hope you have a great night. I'm going to be praying for you. Please pray for me and my family. And also, don't forget, followingthetruth.com is the place to go to find out about more about my work, or maybe to leave a donation as well. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Talk to you next time.